Hey there, this is another edition of Marlins Rewind, the week in review. Miami suffered its worst loss of the year on Monday, then rebounded for four wins. Manager Don Mattingly and the team laud their ace and motivator. We'll hear that and the week's highlights from Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner. My name's Boomer Dangle. It's a pleasure to join you. So with all that said, let's go. As the Pirates entered Marlins Park, they averaged an even 5 runs per game. Don Mattingly recognized the importance of starting pitching at the beginning of the 4-game series.
They're able to mix and match with you at certain positions, and other positions are just solid, no matter if it's a lefty or a righty, so it doesn't really matter. So you definitely have to be able to pitch, and you hope to keep them down and then be able to score some runs.
Monday, Pittsburgh doubled its typical output and posted a 10-0 win. Tuesday, Jose Fernandez took the mound. Jose's been phenomenal all season long, but the 110 strikeout and 2.29 ERA only tells a numerical version of the story. According to Wei Yin Chin, what Jose really provided to the team last week was a clean start and a sense of rebirth one game into the series.
当然就是没有办法像做的他跟他一样那么好，但我们尝试去做的跟他一样。
I think Jose really inspired us watching him pitching so great out there. So we all need to do better job out there just like him. Although we can't do exactly like him, but we will try to do a better job just like him did.
In Game 2 versus the Pirates, Fernandez walked nobody, gave up just 3 hits, and surrendered no runs.
The pitch, swing and a miss, got him with a breaking ball. Strikeout number 10 for Jose Fernandez, and it marks the 14th time in his career he has struck out 10 or more batters.
Life's pretty easy on Mattingly when Jose goes 7, David Phelps holds the 8th, and A.J. Ramos takes care of the 9th. We'll revisit Jose's historic run, but while we're on the bullpen, let's note that Phelps has entered more than half the Marlins games this year. In 2015, Phelps pitched as a starter for the Marlins with only 4 relief appearances. In fact, he's oscillated between the rotation and the bullpen his whole career, until now.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, you know, him coming off of, you know, obviously the offseason surgery and him, you know, kind of going through that in the winter, but and didn't really know how we were going to try to use him for sure. Obviously, we didn't know that was going to happen to Carter, which changes the role. You know, I think we looked at Bear Claw and Ellington at the beginning of spring training, and guys that couldn't fill a role in the pen. Both those guys were just all over the place in spring training. Phelpsy was really the true guy, one guy that just kind of kept getting better and better as spring went on, and it's just been sharp all year long.
Miami's gone without one of its strongest bullpen arms from a season ago, Carter Capps, but Phelps has controlled the 8th inning. He has 13 holds so far. While he's mostly been the 8th inning guy, Wednesday the Marlins called on Phelps for more than 3 outs, the longest he's pitched since April 12th. And while Phelps held the tie game together, Danny Echevarria came through with 2 outs in the 8th.
Lefty ready. Another 3-2. Drive toward the gap, left center field. Toward the home run sculpture, and up against the wall. Extra bases. Rojas around third. He's going to score. Echevarria does it. He delivers with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th. And Miami's got the lead back 3-2. On the 9th pitch of the at-bat. What did I just ask for? Rattle one around underneath the home run sculpture. Thanks, Etch.
Quietly, Etch has worked his batting average up from the 177 mark to near 250. He has 11 hits in the last 10 games he started. Occasionally, Mattingly has stated that he thinks Etch is sometimes too hard on himself. But Echevarria explains, this team's just all about having fun.
Compañerismo. En verdad que la estamos pasando muy bien y vamos a seguir así.
No, the whole clubhouse, from our manager to the players to myself, I mean, we're all having fun, we're all enjoying it in there, we're all enjoy the winning and hard work that comes with it, but we're just out there having fun.
Back-to-back wins, even with Jose's performance and Echevarria's 8th inning RBI, paled in comparison to the Thursday night celebration brought on by Christian Yelich.
1-0 is driven to the gap in right center field. It's hit well. It's up against the wall. Extra bases. Around third, racing for home, Prado. And there won't be a throw. The Marlins walk it off. It took 12 long innings. But for the first time this year, the Marlins are walk-off winners.
The Fish won the series against Pittsburgh, revitalized from Tuesday's Jose Fernandez start.
No, it's a nice feeling. I mean, again, that's a good club over there. They thumped us pretty good that first game. Jose kind of turned the tide and got it back in our court.
The Mets entered for the weekend and came back to win Friday and Saturday's games. So again, the Marlins leaned on Jose, this time to avoid a sweep.
Tying man at third, go-ahead man at first, and the Mets seventh. The 1-2, two-out pitch, swing and a miss! Jose Fernandez leaves the tying man at third. He's matched his career best with his 14th strikeout. 3 Ks in the seventh, he is fired up.
You know, this is what you ask out of your guy, you know, that he stops anything that's going on. We lose a couple and lose a tough one last night, and he comes up and steps up today, basically, you know, kind of controls the game and gets us where we need to go.
Kid K's emotions shown through with a fist bump after that seventh inning strikeout, stranding the tying run on third. He says, how could you not get hyped with this team?
Man, I feel lucky, you know, to be a part of this team and you know, to go out there and give all I got every 5 days. Yeah. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to take off on a nice run right now. You know, we're failing it as a team, and, you know, we're going to play great baseball. And, you know, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. This team is capable of doing a lot of good things. I felt great, and I trust all my pitches right there at that moment. The fans, man. You know, the fans was, that was for them. I feel like it was for them. You know, they came out. And, you know, I felt that the cheer and you know, and the love and I think it's obvious that I love to pitch in Miami. I love the fans. But I can't do it without my teammates, so.
The only run scored in this ballgame, a JT Realmuto RBI single to plate Derek Dietrich. Working with a 1-0 lead, Ramos turned a lead into a win. He's now a perfect 18-for-18 on saves this year. He's converted his last 27 save opportunities.
A.J. straightens again, and the 1-2 to Neil Walker, and a swing here, and a ball driven out toward right center. Going back, Azuna, he's at the wall, makes the catch, game over. Neil Walker hit a high skyrocket to right center, and Azuna went back to the wall and made the catch. A 1-2-3 ninth for A.J. Ramos. A heart-pounding final out. And the Marlins go onto the field for the high fives. Jose Fernandez has beaten Matt Harvey 1-0 here at Marlins Park.
Jose certainly wants his feelings to be known on his closer.
I think he should go to the All-Star game. He said, you know, I think that he deserves it. You know, seeing how hard he works, being so close to him, I think he should go to the All-Star game. I take him any day. I take him over any other person in the big leagues. And he's my closer, and he's a team closer. And I have a lot of love and a lot of trust for him.
So to run through it one more time, 3 wins against Pittsburgh, 1 against New York. The Marlins jump the Phillies and are now alone in third place in the NL East standings, 4 games behind the Nationals and 2 behind the Mets. Here's this week's forecast. Jose goes for his 9th consecutive win in straight starts. He's slated to pitch on Saturday against the Diamondbacks. If he hits 9 in a row, that'd be a new Marlins record. Also, Thursday, the MLB draft starts. Miami has pick number 7, which puts them towards the top. Vice President of Scouting Stan Meek talks unpredictability with the high picks.
I don't think, you know, anybody's really performed up to the number 1 pick. It seems like there's been a lot of guys that have good outings, bad outings. Players have played well and not played so well. So, I mean, for us at 7... there's really no telling who we're going to get, but we're lining our board up. But I would say this probably, since I've been doing this, is one of the more unpredictable top of the drafts I've seen. You know, there's some athletes up there. There's some power. There's big arms like there always are. Just a matter of who's going to be the most consistent, and we think it's going to be the most consistent. Probably not as much total upside maybe at the top of this draft as there's been at some other drafts, but there's always good players out there. And it seems like, you know, we always talk about it. You know, there would have been 3 or 4 guys we'd have taken maybe in front of Jose. The year we got him at 14. We've been picking 3 or 4.
Miami hits the road for the next 9 games, an interleague trip to Minnesota to start, and then the annual visits to Arizona and San Diego. At 16-11, the Marlins have been among the best in the majors on the road this year. We'll recap the games, the Marlins draft, and the clubhouse chatter next time on The Week in Review. Till then, keep up with the Marlins Radio Network on Twitter using the handle @MarlinsRadio. Subscribe to the podcast page for the Daily Rewind and tune in to Hall of Famer Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner with every call on 940 Wins and the Marlins Radio Network.